From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
TL.
Pittsburgh.
P World.
Okay. Corona Heights, San Francisco.
This hour, we're talking about how we get around. We'll hear how some bikers are gearing up for the riding season.
We pronounce that the Spirit of God is in the wheels of the bikes which we ride. We pronounce that the Spirit of God shall ride with you wherever you shall ride.
Then why it might make sense to spend 8 years designing a brand new Muni map for free.
I definitely think this map signals a commitment to public transit as a public good.
And we'll meet some of the international mariners who work those container ships you see coming in and out of the bay.
Well, we know when a seafarer is due to go home when he asks to be taken to Victoria's Secrets. Something about that pink bag.
Let's get this show on the road. It's Cross Currents. Welcome back to a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area. I'm Hannah Baba, and today on Cross Currents, we're talking about different ways people get around the Bay. And today with me is a special guest, Mr. Jeffrey Greer. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, welcome. Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming. Jeffrey is the director of the San Francisco Recovery Theater, and he produces his own show about life in the Tenderloin District. So tell me about the show.
Well, I mean, the show is essentially a spinoff from my major production, which is SF Recovery Theater, San Francisco Recovery Theater, Hard Target Theater. We broadcast or we do most of our theater projects out of the Tenderloin or areas that are disenfranchised in some sense. Mm. It became really essential for me because, you know, as a nonprofit, you're always kind of scrounging for money. You're scuffling. You're trying to get this. You're trying to get that. And people were like, well, it's too dangerous down there. You're not going to get anybody to come to your shows and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, yeah, that's true, but it's real simple. I mean, there's simple things you could do. I remember when I was growing up, you know, the guy next door, Mr. Hall, used to come out with his garden hose and just hose down the front of the whole neighborhood, the stoop, everybody. You just had to get up and go. Mm. Nobody would mess with Mr. Hall because he had the garden hose. It was wet. He had 2 hours of just placid, clean, you know, time. And then there's lights. I said, well, can't you just give me a big giant overhead light or one of these big things that you have at the, you know, at the car lot where they have the spotlight going so that people can feel like they're at a real movie theater? And no, we can't give you that money. It's going to be too much. Well, it was really ironic. There's an article that was written. A young man was stabbed in the Tenderloin as a result. It was just dark. He was just down there buying drugs or something. And, you know, it became really essential for me to kind of tell that story and let people have an opportunity. The people in the community that we're always there, I always call it ground zero.
Right. And you call it ground zero and you try to report about it in a way that not many other news outlets do, talking to the people who are actually living day to day in the Tenderloin. We have a clip from a story about the Mr. Jeffrey show that aired here on Cross Currents. You want to take a listen?
I'd love to.
All right, let's go.
There's somebody who can beat my story every single time. There's no competition, trust me. You know, but it's great to talk and interact, and even the most degrungent person can look at you and tell that you're genuine. If you are genuine, people can tell. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Mr. Jeffrey here, broadcasting live from Ground Zero, the TL here, the Mr. Jeffrey Show on TLTV.
That's Mr. Jeffrey from TLTV. He is here with me in studio. And that story was produced by KALW's Christina Loring. You can hear the rest of it later, not now, at KALW.org. So, Mr. Jeffrey, you move around, or you go around the city collecting all of these incredible stories from people in the Tenderloin. I want to hear about your story.
Right now? Do you have enough time?
It's
only, you only got an hour. My story is long, but it's also very short and very simple. My story is not any more or less than anybody else's. I think the only difference with my story is I'm one of few that managed to walk out of the hell, to walk out of the life that I was living.
Which was?
Which was, hey, I was down there in the Tenderloin. I was just like everybody else, sleeping with my head on a cot, you know, getting up, wandering around all night long like a vampire, you know, just scrounging around, getting high, loaded, and just, and, you know, sun's coming up, run, oh, my God, you're going to melt, you're going to melt. Mm. And, you know, you take cover in a shelter, and just like anyone else. But there's so many different stories, and there's so many different emotions that are connected with the whole concept and feeling of being homeless or being, I don't know what other word I can say, just disenfranchised. You're separate. You're in another world. And I think that it's really easy to feel as though there's no other choice. There's no other way. There's no other alternative. This is going to be my life. This is what it is. And, you know, I might as well accept it. And for me, it's very important for people to have the opportunity to make a decision, to see, you know.
The opportunity. I mean,
to see what you can do.
To make a decision.
Yeah. And one of the benefits that happened, one of the things that happened with me, and one of the things that allows me to walk through the TL and talk to people and interview and kind of connect is, you know, I kind of have a connection there. People know me. They've seen me. There's folks I've seen there for 10, 20 years, you know. Mm. And they know some of those folks know where I was. And for them, it's like a bright day. And I remember when I saw somebody who'd been down and, you know, I see him and all of a sudden he's cleaned up. He's got, you know, new clothes on. I'm like, dude, what happened? How'd you do that? And blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's kind of magical.
Mm. And later we will talk more about that. We definitely want to hear stories of the people that you spoke to walking around the Tenderloin, moving around. And today we're talking about getting around the Bay Area by foot, by bus, by bike. And that takes us to our first story that we're going to hear today. You may have seen them. They take to the streets riding iron horses. They're called the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club, and there are chapters across the country. They ride to honor 19th century black cavalries formed by the U.S. government to patrol and protect what would later become nationally designated parkland. The modern-day version of the Buffalo Soldiers rides on in this story from KALW's Lila Day. Cheryl Morgan is in her kitchen wrapping up chocolate cookies. Each one is shaped like a buffalo.
They are brown sugar cinnamon hand-painted buffaloes.
Morgan isn't just a baker. She's also
the founder and secretary of the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club San Jose chapter.
Morgan first started riding on the back of bikes over 30 years ago. Now she rides solo. And although baking cookies doesn't really go with her biker image, she's okay with that.
Everybody has this image of a hardcore female biker who's more male-oriented than female-oriented, and bikers don't bake cookies.
It's the evening before a highly anticipated meetup. Members of the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club will ride in from all over Northern California to mark the start of the riding season.
Feel how heavy the jackets are.
That's Haman Jahi, Morgan's partner. He's also the president of the club's San Jose chapter. He's showing me his biker jacket.
This says Buffalo Soldier, and it has the sabers crossing each other, 9th and 10th Cavalry.
The jacket is the weight of a small human body and looks like the armor of a rhinoceros. Jahi points out the patches sewn in front.
I'm a member of the National Brotherhood of Skiers. I wear dreads. I'm definitely an advocate of Bob Marley. You know, you kind of put your identity on the front of a vest.
But the most important symbol is on the back of his jacket. It's a blue and yellow emblem of a brown-skinned soldier carrying a sword, a Buffalo Soldier, a name that's said to have been given to the black cavalries in the 1800s by Native Americans who thought the soldier's hair resembled the woolly texture of a buffalo. For the bikers, it's a name that carries a lot of pride.
We're representing a legacy of a group of men that fought and died for this country.
It's a story mixed with pride and pain. In the post-Civil War era, becoming a Buffalo Soldier was a way out of poverty. Men were paid $13 a month and given meals, but it was just after the Indian Wars and there were battles that ended in deaths of Native Americans.
Jahi says he knows this history and it relates to his own.
You're taught to just take orders. I had never even seen a Vietnamese, but they were killing Americans and you had to kill them back. Because that is what military do to you in training. They brainwash you to react to a command. And that's the same thing that happened to the Buffalo Soldiers. They were trained and taught to react to a command.
Gloves, helmet, check, check, everything.
It's early Saturday morning, the day of the ride. The couple puts on their leather jackets, helmets, and leather pants. Jahi backs his Harley out of the garage. Morgan follows on her purple Suzuki. They ride to Lily Mae's House of Chicken and Waffles in San Jose. More than 50 bikers pull into the open parking lot. Today, they've ridden in from Sacramento, San Francisco, Oakland, and beyond, all to have their bikes blessed.
We pronounce that the Spirit of God is in the wheels of the bikes which we ride. Amen. We pronounce that the Spirit of God shall ride with you wherever you shall ride.
Amen. That's Reverend Jeff Moore. He's wearing a long gold robe and pressing anointing oil on the forehead of a biker named Squirt.
Squirt, we ask that he guides you and loves you. Peace rider!
The bike club prides itself on being all-inclusive. Some bike clubs don't allow women, only let members ride Harleys, or have strict rules about who can join. But not this club.
The Buffalo Soldiers is a multiracial, multigender, and multi-bike. You're not required.
That's Mark Nielsen, otherwise known as...
My name is Wolfgard, and I'm Sergeant-at-Arms with Buffalo Soldiers San Jose Chapter.
Wolfgard is over 6 feet tall, wears a leather sleeveless vest, and has thick arms full of tattoos. He says being a white member of a mostly black bike group is actually where he's felt most at home.
The brothers like to joke around, you can't be thin-skinned, but it's all in love. It's always love. It's 24/7 love.
The ride isn't just about the pleasure of the open road. Local chapters bike to different towns to deliver scholarships or retrace routes of the original Buffalo Soldiers. The idea is to be a reminder of their history. And if the bikes aren't loud enough, they make sure their voices are.
Right. Buffalo!
Soldiers!
Buffalo!
Soldiers!
Buffalo!
Soldiers!
And it's what?
All good!
Thank you, Reverend Moore.
For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.
Amen.
Okay.
All
right.
Amen. You're listening to an hour-long edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm here with Jeffrey Greer, the host of the Mr. Jeffrey Show, a show all about people who live in the Tenderloin neighborhood. And today we're learning how different people move around the Bay. We just heard about a group of bikers who put a lot of identity and pride into that ride. Have you seen any of these on the streets?
Yeah, I think I've seen them. I don't know. I mean, I've always been kind of attracted to black motorcycle gangs. I never joined or anything like that, but it's always was a mystery to me.
Huh.
I mean, I'm originally from Detroit, you know, with nothing but cars. And they had a couple biker gangs there. They had, they were always dealing with outlaws, the Mongols, and these, hugely popular white motorcycle gangs. But then they always had these black motorcycle gangs. There was one down the street from my house. It was always a curious kind of subculture of our group.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was really interesting. I think, what's her name, Dana from Channel 7 is kind of messing around with the dragons or something like that. I don't know her whole story, so don't quote me on that. But, it's an organization. Mm. And I think that, anytime there's potential for organization, there's potential for a positive outcome.
And we heard in that story one person say she was baking the cookies and she was saying, bikers don't bake cookies. It's like... they're trying to break a stereotype almost. And so I'm wondering, when you think about our initial perceptions of people through your show, do you have that in mind that you're trying to change how people think about people who are in the Tenderloin?
My personal goal is not only change, but personalize. There's nothing to change their people. You, I, anybody, there by the grace of God or whoever, who could end up in the same situation. You know, life is not promised to anyone. I mean, things can go south on you in a minute, you know, and not everybody's equipped mentally to make that change. Some people are not prepared mentally to accept the change of success. We can see it, you know, the number of professional ball players, you know, entertainers, and, you know, people are not always ready to accept change that is brought to them.
And do you think people on the outside understand that, or they don't get it?
I don't think people are immediately aware of it. It's not hitting home. You're not in the middle of making a change, so it's not anything that's going to hit you directly. You may make a few judgment calls from the distance and, you know, make a call from the peanut gallery, but, you know, your house hasn't been snatched out from under you in one day. You know, your kids haven't been snatched. All of a sudden, you know, you've had a mental breakdown for something. Your job all of a sudden doesn't like you anymore. Who knows? You know, these things haven't happened to you and aren't on your front lobe. So you don't have to deal with it. So it gives you this, you know, backseat driver kind of position.
And speaking of frontal lobe, you have a degree in psychology.
Yes.
And how does that work into your work with the show and with the theater?
Well, I think that, you know, I didn't get a chance to embrace my degree until many years after I graduated. I didn't learn to love what I had done until afterwards. And, you know, the degree immediately at the time I was graduating was like, okay, I'm going to make all this money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it was like, no, man. No. Mm. And so I had a big reality check, as many do when you come out of school. But having studied psychology and having always had an interest in the mind and the inner workings of the mind, and I've just had that passion naturally, it gave me insight and personal desire to kind of make things change. And maybe that has something to do with myself.
All right. Change and growth. That's something we're trying to do here at Cross Currents as well, as we tell these stories and we talk to you, Mr. Jeffrey. We also are trying to challenge people's perceptions. And right now we are in the middle of our membership campaign. We're trying to grow as well, so we can bring you more of these stories, so you can hear more of stories like that, of the one that you're hearing in today's show. We bring you Mr. Jeffrey. Who else can bring you Mr. Jeffrey on public radio? Yeah, right?
Live.
Today we're focusing on getting as many new members as possible for KALW. So let's go to Liz Mack and Leela Day, who are in Studio A, to check on how we're doing in the membership campaign.
Thanks, Hannah, and thank you, Mr. Jeffrey, for joining us today. We are looking for new members. We are in the thick of our membership campaign. We're asking you to call in to 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Become a new member today.
If you liked what you just heard, then call in or click at kalw.org. Leela and I are both reporters with Cross Currents. Leela, can you tell me a little bit about that story?
Yeah, well, basically, I never really realized that, you know, a five-minute story would take about 3 months. I mean, that's what happens here at Cross Currents. We work really hard on these stories that we think that you're going to be interested in. Like Mr. Joffrey said, he found it mysterious about these motorcycle gangs and was as interested in finding out more. I was, too, and Cross Currents has given me an opportunity to really hone in and focus on some of the stories that I think are important to be told.
That's right, Leela. It takes a lot of time, but we love doing it. And we've been given the opportunity to work on such stories in such depth with creativity because of your support. So if you want to hear more stories like Leela's story right now, then call 1-800-525-9917. Again, that's 1-800-525-9917 or at kalw.org.
Become a new member. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, you can do that by calling 1-800-525-9917. Cross Currents, we're here at 5 o'clock every week bringing you the stories that mean something to you. Become a new member at kalw.org or 1-800-525-9917. Now, back to Cross Currents.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. If you've ever ridden on San Francisco's Municipal Transportation Service, Muni, you've probably glanced at the map on the side of the bus shelter, even if it was just to stave off the boredom of waiting for the bus. The map we've had for some 30 years now is basically just a road map with transit lines on top of it. It's dense with information, but somehow it still doesn't tell us some of the most basic things Muni riders want to know. Like, how long, realistically, will I be waiting out here in the fog trying to get to the grocery store? So a while back, a map maker and a city planner got together to design a new map that tells more by saying less. It's part of San Francisco's new Muni Forward campaign. KALW's Hannah Kingsley Ma went out to take a look.
When city planner Jay Primus first moved out to San Francisco's Richmond District, he made a big mistake.
I wanted to go downtown. I just jumped on the 2 Clement.
Oof, bad choice. The 2 Clement only comes every 25 minutes and stops every 2 blocks. And the 38R, formerly the 38L, one block over, will take you there a lot faster. But a newcomer like Primus had no way to know that what he was doing was wrong.
On the existing map, those transit lines look exactly the same. They have the same visual importance.
The experience triggered something inside of Primus. He loved thinking about maps and transit systems. Map-making technology was getting better, making a new Muni map seem like the perfect project. What he needed was a partner in crime.
Once I found David Wiggins, who was the collaborator with this, a professional cartographer, we decided that we would give it a shot, and kind of just for the fun of it. That was 11 years ago.
Making good maps takes time, and this was a passion project, which means they did it outside work hours, for free. The two men hit the books, studying transit maps from all over the world, and Muni maps from 8 decades ago. And they found that some of those old design concepts were surprisingly relevant.
Let me pull this up real fast. Mm-hmm.
Right. Sitting in his house, he shows me slides of the old maps.
This map from 1930 shows really clearly where transit operates. It's not the prettiest, but it really works.
Because transit then was mostly rail lines, the map is just a series of aesthetically clean black lines, tracing some of the city's most popular routes, like the Powell cable car. Then we flip ahead to the 70s, and I feel like I'm in a time machine.
We start to see really funny colors.
Yeah, so if we were just to describe this to someone on the radio, like the entire background is pink, kind of. Like it's like the bay, entire bay is like magenta.
Mm-hmm. With some orange vinyl.
When Wiggins and Primus started on their own map, they created a system of color-coded lines of varying thickness to indicate which buses showed up more often. A throwback to Primus's first days in San Francisco.
The key difference was trying to show frequency more clearly so that at a glance, you could very quickly get a feel for where there's transit more often.
There's a lot of thoughtful detail in the finished product. From the colors they chose, to the lowercase font they used, to the way they oriented street names to make everything easier to read. It's better. But will people use it? To find out, I did that thing reporters often do. I lurked outside of bus stations across the city and bugged unsuspecting riders to tell me what they thought.
Hi, I'm Shanice, and I'm going home.
Do you ever look at the map?
No.
Do you know that there's a new map?
No. Like, if I'm going somewhere that I, like, a specific address, then you can get, like, on Google Maps, but I don't really, like, read them that.
Where am I going? I'm going home in the Excelsior District on Naples Street.
And what bus are you going to take?
The O'Shaughnessy.
Do you ever look at the map?
No, I don't need to. I've been here since 1958.
Have you been using the bus maps that have been here?
No, I use the app.
Why is the app better than a map?
It's more convenient.
I talked to tourists, longstanding locals, and recently arrived students, all who said they didn't use the old map, let alone realize there was a new one. Google Maps loomed large in most of the responses, which brings up another question. In a lot of ways, digital maps are easier to use, but they only take us exactly where we want to go. What do we lose when we don't see the whole picture?
There's something really integral to the city and experiencing it and actually creating it and making place by experiencing places that you might not normally get to. My name is Allison Arieff. I'm the editorial director of SPUR, which is an urban planning and policy think tank.
I called Arieff because she recently curated an exhibition of local maps called Urban Cartography. As she sees it, a map is a historical document. It's a conversation starter, a snapshot of a city, a story in the making. And it provides something really, really important: context.
If you look at that map and you can get a sense of what neighborhoods are being served, what neighborhoods aren't being served, there's equity issues that are imbued within that map, and where the mini map goes shows us where people go every day, how far some people have to go.
And, by extension, how their lives are shaped by the city's public transportation.
I definitely think this map signals a commitment to public transit, and in particular, public transit as a public good.
Right now, there are a lot of different kinds of transit in the city. The private market is expanding. But those options aren't accessible to lots of people. Having a mini map that makes clear where the bus goes and how often it goes there can help guide city officials towards what they need to improve for the benefit of everyone. Jay Primus says there is another reason to make a print map. Whether they use them or not, people seem to really like them.
Maybe it's a little like asking, are printed books relevant anymore? Maybe I'm just kind of old school, but there's nothing like having a book in your hand compared to something electronic.
A lot of people I talked to on the streets echoed the sentiment. One guy said that he uses a print map after he successfully gets somewhere to better understand Google Maps logic. One woman reminisced about how she used to navigate with print maps during road trips with her mom. And then there's people like my dad, Sanford Kingsley. He's lived here all his life and knows how to get everywhere in astounding, sometimes excessive, detail. But he's always examined the maps.
There was a section between the white pages and the yellow pages that had the Muni map and a description of all the routes. And when the new phone book would come out, I would study it as a kid.
What sort of things would you look at?
Just to see what had changed, if at all, or to learn where buses went in a different part of the city than I lived.
Map nerds like my dad can look forward to studying the new map inside bus shelters around town. As for Primus, the map maker, he's looking forward to seeing how his vision of San Francisco fits into the city's greater narrative. After all, a good map doesn't just show us what our city looks like. It also asks us who we want to be. Near a bus stop in Visitation Valley, I'm Hannah Kingsley Ma for Cross Currents.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba, and with me is a man who does not need a map to find his way around San Francisco.
Oh, I get around.
Mr. Jeffrey Greer is here, also known as Mr. Jeffrey, the host of the Mr. Jeffrey Show. It's that guy you see in downtown with a camera and a microphone. He's here with us in studio. Thanks again for being here.
Glad to be here. I want to give a shout out, thank everybody at KALW for always supporting us and being here for us. I got people out there that are listening, want to say hi. Hey, Alan, I hear you, baby. Come on back. Your health is good. He's been in the hospital. That's my piano player. Shout out to people who have always supported us. Kathy down there at the Cadillac Hotel. Skip over there at Martuni's. And everybody else has supported us, you know, through this effort. And we'd like to form a real long-lasting friendship and bondage with KALW. And I think that our parents, San Francisco Recovery Theater, may find it in our way to kind of join and also be a member. We're going to join the pledge.
A
little bit. You know, we'll talk about that later.
All right.
But I want to thank everybody for all of that. And, getting around in San Francisco is probably very, very unique to newcomers. They don't know the ins and outs. They don't know that you're going to have to take four left turns to make a right turn. But I do also feel that the public transit system, if you have to go that route, is real. It's good. It's technically good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always running. It's always there. You may not be on time, but you know, it's available pretty much at the time if you pay attention.
Mm. You feel it's reliable enough?
It's reliable enough. I've been in places. I mean, L.A. is a monster. Don't ever try to catch public transport in L.A. New York is sweet. You can get anywhere you want to go, you know. So, you know, in Oakland, the East Bay, you know, it gets a little lengthy. Mm-hmm. So by comparison, you have to really take a look at it. San Francisco is very dense.
Mm.
You know.
Would you change anything about those Muni maps? Do people even use them?
I don't. I mean, you get more information by talking to somebody that's on the bus. You better talk to somebody who rides the bus. The map, you know.
Did they just play Dr. Dre because you said L.A.? Hello.
That's right. All right. Great time, baby.
All right. So here at KALW, we're also trying to map our future. What do you think about that?
I think that's right.
Uh-huh. And you can help. It's a special day in our spring membership campaign. It is New Member Monday. New Member Monday. So let's check in with Liz Mack and Leela Day for an update on how we're doing. And we'll be back with more stories in a few minutes with Mr. Jeffrey.
Thanks, Hana, and thanks, Mr. Jeffrey. Here at Cross Currents and KALW, we're trying to reinvent a map that includes you, our listeners, as part of the station. So if you're interested in promoting us and helping us grow, then call 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917 or at kalw.org.
Yep, Liz, and we are trying to get 30 calls or clicks this hour. That is our challenge, and this is thanks to the Robin Bornstein family in memory of Grandma Eve and Karen Ginsler in Mill Valley. They have a challenge of $865. If you can give us a call at 1-800-525-9917 and become a new member today. If there's one good thing that you can do for yourself today, it's to call KLW and become a new member. Why not? Where else can you hear Dr. Dre playing in the background while we're talking to you about becoming a new member by calling 1-800-525-9917. Right, Liz?
Right. Or at KALW.org. Just click on the Donate Now button. Now, a basic membership rate for all of you who are interested in becoming a new member, that's at a rate of $50, and you can get our new member pack. That includes a bunch of awesome swag, like our KALW bumper and bike sticker, a KALW lightweight foldable tote bag, and a KALW refrigerator magnet.
That sounds dope.
These are some solid magnets.
There's some other things that you can get. You can get this amazing KALW t-shirt. It is in the shape of actual kale, and we all know that the Bay Area loves themselves some kale. You call 1-800-525-9917, and you can get that t-shirt with a gift to KALW of $91.70. How great would that be?
That'd be awesome. Please, if you want to join in on our challenge, be one of those 30 clicks or calls in the next hour, then you can help us get $865 more dollars from the Robin Bornstein family in memory of Grandma Eve or Karen Gensler in Mill Valley. Join us. And, you know, actually, we just got a new member. His name is David Boyer.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David Boyer from San Francisco. And he says, love it. Love it. Love it.
He is loving it. We are loving it. We want you to call in. We see some open lines, but the phones are ringing. People are hearing it. They're saying, today, if I do one thing, I'm going to become a new member of KALW.
Right.
1-800-525-9917.
If you love it, love it, love it, then call us at 1-800-525-9917. Again, 1-800-525-9917. Or online at kalw.org. Thanks very much, and back to you, Hana and Mr. Jeffrey.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hana Baba. Today we're talking about the different ways people get around the Bay. And one of the places where the Bay is bustling with movement is its ports. Think about this. 90% of everything we buy, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the smartphone you're trying hard not to look at right now, all of this comes to us across the oceans on lumbering container ships, these floating villages of sailors with no doctors, no telephones, no police. And there's nowhere to shop. For that, you have to wait until you hit dry land. As soon as they arrive on solid ground, they get a ride to the mall from the local Seafarers Club, sponsored by a maritime church. KALW's Julie Kane spent a day shopping with the seafarers.
Okay, doke. Have fun.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Keep your wallet in your pocket.
Okay, thank you.
Dheeraj Singh is the first officer on a container ship. He makes regular runs from China to California to Japan and back again.
Frankly speaking, we are lucky and we should be thankful to God that with these two eyes, we are really looking whole of the globe.
In his 10 years at sea, he sailed all over the world.
From totally white people, you're going to totally black, brown, different variety of people are there, right? So it's a great experience.
The route he travels right now means that every 35 days, his ship docks at the port of Oakland. And that means he gets to have another great experience, shopping at the Best Buy in Emeryville.
In fact, Best Buy in Siemens' eye is a... what do you call it? Electronics heaven.
For his afternoon of shore leave, he's wearing a bright pink turban and a t-shirt that says USA, outlined in stars and stripes. And he has a shopping list. Cologne for his father, a laptop for his nephew, and Gerber baby food for his one-year-old daughter, Bonnie.
What time you want to come pick you up?
That's Dan Regan. He's a volunteer with the International Maritime Center. They're the first people the seamen meet when they disembark. Today, that means shuttling men from the Philippines, Ukraine, Ethiopia, Romania, and India on shopping trips to big box and little pink bag stores. It'd be hard for Singh and the others to do this on their own. You can't really walk anywhere from the port of Oakland. There's limited public transportation, and taxis are expensive. So this once-a-month ride to the mall is a kind of lifeline.
By 4 o'clock, better?
By 4 o'clock?
Please.
Singh needs the computer to be ready by 4 o'clock because that's when he needs to be back aboard his ship. We wait to hear if his computer will be ready in time under a flickering bank of HDTVs.
Shipping is one of the toughest job in the world, one of the toughest. Away from the family, so many rules and regulations you have to comply with.
And then when you finally get a break, Best Buy.
Yes.
You see such a limited little tiny piece of the country here, right? Okay. Oakland, California, United States, is Old Navy, Best Buy.
We haven't seen that how the people are struggling here really, really a lot, you know, to survive. You know, it's a country where I feel it, you know, the wording is survival for the fittest. In India, one guy is earning and five members, they are totally free, no problem. But here you cannot do that.
What you can do is get products that aren't as affordable or as available in other parts of the world. Electronics or special baby food or lingerie.
Well, we know when a seafarer is due to go home for the end of the contract when he asks to be taken to Victoria's Secrets.
That's Adrienne Yee. She's the director of the International Maritime Center at the Port of Oakland. Those are the folks who took Singh shopping today.
Something about that pink bag, you know, they love buying the lotions and perfumes for their wife or their girlfriend at home.
I've left Singh to finish his shopping, and I'm back at the center. When they aren't at the mall, this is where the seafarers hang out, about 10 of them today, from various ships. It's a small prefab building, like a portable classroom you'd see at a school. There's a pool table, a small chapel, a room with computers, and a little commissary selling things like razors, chocolate bars, and coffee mugs with drawings of the Golden Gate Bridge on the side. Yi works the register.
One, two, three, four, five, six. $1 each.
The center isn't just about commerce. It's run by a church, the Seamen's Church Institute, or SCI.
So basically, we offer hospitality, pastoral care, counseling, friendly conversations, someone to speak to.
Centers like this exist in many ports all around the world. Alfie Loya is from a small town in the Philippines. He's been away from his wife and three-year-old daughter for close to 9 months. Right now, he's stocking up for the next leg of his voyage.
Chitos and drinks.
Because you can't get that on the ship?
Mom?
You don't have that on the ship?
Yeah, we don't have this one on the ship.
The love is $5.
Yeah.
The majority of seafarers who pass through the center are like Loya. They're Filipino and away from home for extended periods of time. The ability to earn more is the major motivator for a life at sea, even if it means leaving loved ones behind. They're looking out for their families, and the Maritime Center is looking out for them. The phone rings. It's Dhiraj Singh. Folks at the center call him the captain. And the captain has gotten lost. He needs a ride back to the Maritime Center.
All right, I'll find out what's going on. We'll get up there as soon as we can.
Is that the captain? He's at Burger King? Dan is on his way to get him.
Yes. Even when your job is circumnavigating the globe, you can still get stranded in the parking lot of a Burger King in Emeryville, California.
Okay, I just talked to the lady, and she did send somebody, and he's on his way to get you. Okay, bye.
At the Port of Oakland, I'm Julie Kane for Cross Currents.
Thanks, Julie, for that story. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. I'm here today with our special guest, Jeffrey Greer. Today, Mr. Jeffrey, we're talking about how people get around the bay. Jeffrey is the host of the Mr. Jeffrey's Show out of the Tenderloin, but he's also the director of an important theater company, San Francisco Recovery Theater. Mr. Jeffrey, can you tell us about the theater and what it is and what it does?
Recovery Theater started off as a company that was targeting issues that we were having, especially during the crack explosion. The crack explosion, that's what I call it. You know, my people call it a pandemic. Many people, family members, didn't understand what was happening. It was like, it was as if a family member was being taken over by an alien. You know, all of a sudden they started shrinking up. They started coming in there, stealing everything in sight, you know, and just totally flipping. And, you know, our play and production piece that we put together was designed to kind of mirror that whole pathology that took place. Not so much as a, you know, a cure-all, but more as an inclusionary piece for everybody that's a part of the community. Because, you know, health and change takes place as a village. And what we found is it took more time, it provided more of a service for everybody to be properly informed. Much like many of the other illnesses that have taken place in our world, you know, mental health, drug addiction, and, you know, social maladies, once people are online with what's really happening, we can collectively work and make a difference.
And what does theater do for a person like that?
Theater provides a mirror. Live theater does something different than a movie or a screen. Live theater, where you see people actually sweating, breathing, you have some involvement. We don't take the time to establish a fourth wall. We believe in breaking the fourth wall, which in theater speak is, you know, there's a wall between the audience and the theater and the stage. We include the audience. We feel as though theater provides, in its most basic sense, and you go all the way back to tradition, theater and drama has always told a story, a very realistic story about our life. And many times we can't take the time or can't accept what's really happening until we actually see it. We have to see it mirrored and emulated before we can actually take the time to say, okay, well, I guess maybe I could do that, or maybe that is me. You know, a lot of people, many people, have issues with looking at themselves, both figuratively, spiritually, and mentally.
That's Mr. Jeffrey. Thank you so much for that insight into San Francisco Recovery Theater. We here at KALW also like to be a reflection of the community and mirror the community. So this is our May membership campaign, and we would love it if you would join in and help us do what we do, mirroring the environment around us and providing the Bay Area with news and art pieces that they can relate to. So let's see how we're doing, actually, in the membership campaign with Liz and Leela in Studio A.
Well,
Thanks, Hanan. Thanks, Mr. Jeffrey. And thank you, new members. We have a new member, Thomas Lucas. I'm going to say it again, Thomas Lucas. Thank you. You said you use KLW's content as a means to help you because you become educated, an educated citizen, so you can better exercise your duty in making informed choices on Election Day. Thank you, Thomas. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. And if you want to be just like Thomas, then call us at 1-800-525-9917. Again, that's 1-800-525-9917 or click on klw.org. And we actually have a challenge posed to us by the Robin Bornstein family in memory of Grandma Eve and also Karen Gensler in Mill Valley. They're challenging us to get 30 clicks or calls in the next hour, and they will contribute $865 to us. That's a lot of money that we could use for really great purposes. 30 clicks or calls in the next hour.
That's right. Just call 1-800-525-9917. It's New Member Monday. You know, 68% of our budget goes back to producing and acquiring programming. So when you join KLW today, you're becoming an active participant in one of the most innovative and productive stations on public radio. And I am bouncing in my seat with this music, getting really excited for all these phones about to start ringing.
Ring, 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 ring.
That's right. 1-800-525-9917. Call in.
Call in or click at KALW.org. And today is New Member Monday. Our goal is to get 100 new members to join KALW. And all day long, we're going to be thanking our new members on air. New members like my dad, Stanley Mack, calling from Hong Kong. He says something very dad-like and smart. He says, these topics are truly... are timely and really ring a bell with him. That's my dad. If you want to be just like him, then call and support us. 1-800-525-9917.
If Liz Mack's father is calling from Hong Kong, you can pick up the phone right now and call from the Bay Area. 1-800-525-9917. Become a new member. Why not? Right, Liz?
There's no reason why not. 1-800-525-9917. And back to the show.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. We've been hearing today how people move around the Bay Area on motorcycles, on buses and trains, on boats. But we've got one last mode of transportation for you today, and it's one of the ways a lot of tourists like to get around the city, on a cable car. And if you've ever caught the cable car in downtown San Francisco, you may have heard this guy. We sent KALW's Julie Kane to meet him. Here's his story.
We are at Powell Street at the turnaround in San Francisco, California, of course. The only place where you'll hear something like this, more than likely. My name is Tim Blevins, better known alias Opera. Everybody calls me Opera. I have a degree in music and voice, and I've actually worked around the world. I'm unemployed at the moment, so I'm just singing, you know, wherever.
Alla gloria militar, alla gloria militar.
And what is it about opera that really speaks to your soul? Like, why opera?
I don't know. I mean, when I started singing opera, I was in, I was 23. I was in college, and I heard a Verdi piece. And it was Otello. It was Iago's aria from Otello. And, you know, the hair stood up on my, you know, I got goosebumps.
Vanne, la tua meta già vedo.
It's just so dramatic. It's, you know, and then the story behind it, if you know what's going on behind it, it's just, the music, musically, is just incredible.
Otello is about what, in a nutshell?
He's a black man, actually. He's a Moor. And Iago was his nemesis, you know. Iago was trying to set him up so that he would... He thought that his girl, Desdemona, I think her name is, was cheating on him. And he kills her. you know. And so, you know, that's basically what most opera plots are about. You know, some guy loves another guy's woman, and they kill, you know, in order to get the woman, they kill that, you know. And then the lady kills herself, you know, just some crazy stuff, you know.
That was Tim Blevins talking to KLW's Julie Kane. Listen to that. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and I'm sitting here with Jeffrey Greer from the Mr. Jeffrey Show and also of the San Francisco Recovery Theater. And he's sitting here listening with me. It sounds familiar, Othello.
Othello was a very famous story, but not only that, we need to find Tim Blevins because he needs to come on and do something with us. So let Tim know if he's unemployed, I got a gig for him. Not only that, but Othello is very famous. We just did a piece as part of the Market Street in collaboration with Counterpulse. We have our own piece. My stage manager kind of retooled Shakespeare's Othello, and we call it Omar and Dee.
And how does that go?
Well, it's the same thing. Same thing. It's a story of domestic violence, deceit, and as he said, you know, mental health. And it's an ongoing, very familiar story. Once you understand what it is, those are stories about everyday people. Theater is, in my belief, for the people. Which kind of opened up the door, once again, for the Mr. Jeffrey Show and CLTV. Because not only should people be a part and see and witness and experience theater and entertain, but they also have so much to say. You never know who you're going to run into. And one of the reasons that I started TLTV was to get an idea of what people really had to say. And we talk about anything from political, high-level political situations to very local commentary. And I'll, you know, be in touch with you guys, let you know what my topics are, keep you posted.
And how can people watch the Mr. Jeffrey Show?
Well, the Mr. Jeffrey Show is very on a very, very low budget. So you just have to type in Mr. Jeffrey or TLTV on YouTube. We post it from time to time. And as soon as I can get my website updated, you can go into sfrecoverytheater.org. That's sfrecoverytheatre.org.
The correct British way.
That's right.
You know, and what's like coming up for the theater?
Well, we've got a lot of stuff going on. I'd really like to get in touch with Tim if I can get him before the 28th. We got a gig that we're going to be doing at the hotel. We do a lot of stuff with all the hotels downtown San Francisco within the TL. We did two at the Jefferson. We're getting ready to do something at the Windsor Hotel on the 28th. We have a Wings and Things thing, like a little jazz jazz dinner,
right.
Dinner kind of deal.
All right.
We will be bringing in August Wilson's Two Trains Running. I think at the beginning of September, we'll deal with that. We'll be at the Cadillac Hotel again in September.
Excellent.
So you just got to stay posted. We're always doing something the second Saturday of every month at Martuni's.
All right.
They've always been good to us, giving us a lab. Got to give a shout out and give one out to my baby who's
community
been helping me all the time.
Support.
Miss Perry. Miss Perry, why don't you call in and make a donation?
Oh, Miss Perry, call in. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It was really, really wonderful to have you.
It's always a pleasure. I really appreciate it. And once again, people can always find me. I'm right there on the street. If they see me, TLTV, give me a shout out. Take a look. Get on YouTube. Hit me up on my website. And I'll be around.
All right.
Because I get around.
You get around. All right. Thank you so much. I'm Hanat Baba, and I'm throwing it back to the folks in Studio A. Let's go to Liz and Leela and find out what's going on with the May membership campaign.
Thanks again, Hanat and Mr. Jeffrey. We just want to remind our listeners that it's New Member Monday. We're trying to reach 100 new members to join KALW, and all day long, we're going to be thanking them. Call if you want to be one of those new members. Our number is 1-800-525-9917. Again, that's 1-800-525-9917 or KALW.org. And actually, we have a new member, don't we,
Leela? We sure do. We have Bob Cohen. Thank you, Bob. We really appreciate it. He says, Cross Currents rocks. Thanks, Bob. We love that. Supporting the station since 1991 and he pledges twice every drive. And he says it's never too late to become a new member. And we hear you, Bob. And we're asking other listeners to call in now, 1-800- 525-9917. It's never too late. Listen to Bob.
That's totally right. And if Bob can pledge twice, you can pledge once. We actually have a challenge right now. It's 30 clicks or calls in the next hour. We still have time. The Robin Bornstein family, in memory of Grandma Eve, and also Karen Gensler in Mill Valley have pledged $865 to us if we can make the next 30 clicks or calls in the next hour. So please join in. Be one of those 30. Call us at 1-800-525-9917. Again, 1-800-525-9917.
Joan Juster, she called and she became a member. She says she's a sustaining member before the... Oh, I'm sorry. She says she was a sustaining member before the recession, and she's ready to become a member again.
Welcome.
Thank you, Joan. We appreciate it, and we thank you. It's because of you that we're able to bring you this type of programming that you say that you love so much. Call 1-800-525-9917. New Member Monday.
You know, the thing is, Leela, I feel like once you actually make that decision to join, you actually start to listen differently. You know, you're going to say like, hey, I had a part in making this happen. And that's a really great feeling. And it's a connection that not only keeps public radio going, but it's what makes it different and better.
I was thinking about it yesterday. I was thinking when I first became a new member, I had that same feeling of when I voted. You know, I felt like I was a part of the community. I was really making things happen. And I made a conscious decision to do something good. And it was to become a member of my local radio station.
It's saying I care. So if you care too, then call 1-800-525-9917. Again, 1-800-525-9917. Or click on the Donate Now button on KALW.org. We still have time. We want to make those 30 clicks or calls in order to get that extra $865 for our whole station. So if you can be one of those, call us, 1-800-525-9917.
New Member Monday, you can do it. Pick up the phone, give us a call, and thank you. You've been a huge support to KLW. We really appreciate all that you've done. This is KLW in San Francisco.